could see the Chasdei Hashem, because for several years I've been going to Cherry Hill to try to share some thoughts to the fellows there, and every year I had at least one of my children, sometimes more than one, at least two, and this year I thought, oi, I'm not going to have that pleasure anymore, and then look, I have the pleasure again. But of course, it's a big pressure on me because I don't want to embarrass Nassim. So we're all going to try our best here together. And I hope, give me the freedom of trying to be comfortable and maybe try and approach that. This is a little bit unconventional, I guess you could say, but really could be valid in terms of trying to get in touch with the real experiences that are trying to be learned about. And we know, Israel says, and Chofetz Chaim used it very much, that Koyach HaTzir helps very much. And we need to be okay with using that and trying to imagine for ourselves the things that can help bring us into good connection with what we're really trying to learn about and discover for ourselves and for others. So I like you to try to imagine, even the people that wouldn't be so inclined to go hear a speech if they didn't have to, but the smartest person in the world is coming to talk about how you can make your life significantly better and more successful. I think we'd all try to give it a chance. We'd all try to give it a chance. And even if it would be something that's very, very subtle and not so easy to grasp, we would be willing to work together and create a think tank and try to grasp what's being said. And of course, how much more so if something that's coming to us from the wisest person that ever lived. And all his words are, of course, the words of Hashem, the Ruach HaKodesh that he had. And that's, of course, Shlomo HaMelech. In this case, as explained by Rabbi Nevache, who is a Talmud of the Rashba. That's going back a good hundreds of years. So it'll be worthwhile really trying to figure out what it's all about, even if it's not easy. And I don't know, 45 minutes is enough. Maybe it needs really 45 years. I'll lie even in that. I can tell you for myself, I've been trying to learn this little piece here for about 12 years, and just starting to realize how little I understood of it, and maybe I'll still get to realize how little I understand of it. But we have to be okay with that. So to make a start, I want you to imagine for yourself, and if you have a pen and paper, it'll be a time to use it momentarily for a moment. You have a very close, dear elementary school, high school, even a few years after high school, good friend that you were together and had great time together. And then he moves away and you sort of drift apart and he goes into business and he's crushing it. He's flying. Multi. But you hear that maybe it's not really so kosher. But you hear that he's quite positive he'll never get caught. How you get to here? Okay, somehow you get to here. And of course, you're very, very concerned, very worried. But you don't have any ongoing contact. And then there's a family simcha in that town. And you go, and he's close to the other side. And you meet up, and it's just like old times. So good. And you realize, okay, here's my chance. And you ask him, can we get together sometime? Can we get together and just, you know, reminisce the good old days? And he says, sure. And he tells you, and you can come. And he's going to take you into his lounge, or maybe go out on the sailboat and have some good time together. And you're still, you're close to him. You could talk to him. And here's your chance to try to get him to somehow turn his life around and get out of this really potentially very dangerous place. Because he may think he's not going to get caught, but sometimes the FBI proves you wrong. And certainly it's dangerous for eternity. So take a couple of moments and think. What would you try to say to him? If you could even put it down on paper. Put it down on paper. Just a couple of moments. We'll all think together. Okay, so not asking for you to share because we don't have enough time for that, but if we had time, it would be worthwhile. You know, there could be some powerful messages that he probably knows already how severe is the transgression of Gezel, in some ways worse than anything else. If you don't give it back, we can't even get Mechila. So Gzar Din of Torah Mabel was Nechtan for Gezel. What does that mean? Or maybe you could try. That's maybe you terribly difficult, but from Saira Agra, imagine the schar you'd have if you gave it all back. What kind of schar that would be? Unfathomable. Or maybe you could help him realize that it's not really going to last long and he's not going to be able to, no one else who ever did this ever wound up enjoying himself at the end. So don't think it's going to be any different. Those are strong messages. None of those are the message that Shlomo HaMelech chose. So now we'll imagine ourselves, you know, hiding behind the bushes in the royal garden and listening in as Shlomo HaMelech is going for a walk with one of the big gevurim in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, that he has reason to be cheshesh. He's also gotten off course. And he's doing like the Chavetz Chaim used to do, putting his arm around the Yid's shoulder and speaking to him like a brother. He would say, Tayre Bruder, my dear brother, trying to, you know, reach the heart of somebody who was in some kind of a terrible machlekes and help him. And what does Shlomo HaMelech say to this entrenched, seasoned robber, embezzler, who has amassed an enormous amount? He's talking about oitzreis of stolen grain, treasure troves of gold and silver. And the Ganav, Rebbe Mechaya says, would say to himself, Eich yarchi kena, how can I give this back? How can I give this back? And Shlomo HaMelech is speaking to all the Klal Yisrael, and even to that, to such a person. And he says to him, oh, almost unbelievable statement. He says to him, it'll be better, you will enjoy more, the little bit that you'll have left over, that's going to be with Emes, with Yosher, that's yours, that's rightfully yours. And that will be with Yiras Hashem, recognition of Hashem and love of Hashem, then all these treasures, all this massive wealth that you've amassed, was dishonest. That little bit that you'll have will be more enjoyable. That will be with Hashem, with closest to Hashem. And it continues, and I can prove it, and you can see it from life experience. It says, a person has a choice of, if you would have a choice, of enjoying the thickest steak, the best meal that you could have. And I don't know if they had restaurants in Yerushalayim. In the best place. In the company of your competition that want to knock you off. Or just a little meager meal of vegetables in the company of one of your close friends. Which would you choose? Which would you enjoy more? Of course, the meagest. A little bit of vegetables with your good friend. So, how much more so? This is true in the human relationship. Kal vachomer. How much more so in relationship to Hashem that you'll enjoy it more than all this amassed wealth and riches and lavish lifestyle. We have to wonder, do we believe what we just heard? Can you believe this? Okay. Try to imagine yourself as that person that Shlomo was talking to. You're thinking like, Melech. Okay, he cares about me. And even if, you know, wasn't even so 100% sure, Shlomo Melech is saying, I don't even have to believe what I'm hearing, but just in case. But what is the Melech trying to say? Could this possibly be the motivation? The Ganav is saying, Eich Yachi Kenu, how can I give it back? This is my whole life, my riches, my money, my status, my position. How can I give it back? How can I end it all? And the answer is, you'll enjoy more. That little bit that you'll have left that's really yours. Could that be the motivation to cause them like, oh yeah, it's going to be so geschmack. I'm going to be sitting in the one-room apartments eating a little peanut butter and jelly and thinking about Hashem. It's going to be amazing. Okay, take all the millions, take all the billions, chuck it, and now I'm going to go to the little apartment, the little paper plate, and peanut butter and jelly, and it's going to be amazing. Is that going to be a motivation for the person to be mahapach his life? Are we even talking about what's more enjoyable? It's not just what's more enjoyable. Saying, how can I give it back? Shlomo Melech says, you'll enjoy that more. And it'll be with Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem. Is he on the Madriga of Avas Hashem? He's asking himself, what is the Melech saying to me? Okay, you know, I'm trying to present myself as respectable, you know, Choshev, the boss, the community. Of course, I give a lot of tzedakah. Yeah. Avas Hashem, I'm not a tzaddik. What does it mean? Avas Hashem. Love of Hashem. And the Kal Vachomer? How was it a Kal Vachomer? See, the human experience, you enjoy more getting together with a good friend. Okay, it's like he's alive. It's very tangible. Avas Hashem, this is very, very abstract, very, very lofty. Could this be a Kal Vachomer? Tell him you will for sure enjoy this more. You could see how it'd be even better. Can he relate to that? Can he even hear this? Can he believe this about himself? So now if I was in yeshiva, so the time would have run out already, and that would be perfect. That was, you know, say, okay, we have no more time. You have to go back and think about it. But now we have half an hour to go, so I can't do that. Besides, I may not be around so soon again. Alibi, but so we'll have to take a couple of moments right now to try to think about it, to try to get some idea. And you know, in all honesty, this question first registered by, even though I've been learning this and talking about this for a long time, it first registered just when I was ready, trying to get ready for today. Like, can this work? And even after I thought I understood it. How will this work? What is this? What is going on here? Imagine yourself, Shlomo Melech. You know it's Chachma. This is supposed to be able to. You're asking yourself, what is the Melech saying to me? So you're going to think about it. That's what we have to try to do right now. Just for a couple of seconds. Try to think, what is the Melech saying to me? Give it, if you give it all back, and you just have a little bit left, it will be more enjoyable. You can envision yourself. Yes, that's that little apartment, that little piece of bread, and it will be more enjoyable. And what does that say? What does that mean? Okay, let's ask ourselves, what really is the reason? What is that really about? That little bit that he has left will be more enjoyable. What will be enjoyable about it? And why will it be more enjoyable? If he can sort of buy in and give Shlomo Melech the credit that he's worthy of, that if I would do this, it doesn't seem like it's because if you do it, you'll be doing such a transformative action that you will catapult yourself to the highest heights. Not because of that. Just if you would give it all back and live with Yosha, you will enjoy it more. And maybe ordinary people, they wouldn't be so conscious of it. They wouldn't be so in touch with it. Because it was like more maybe taken for granted. This person, who is challenged in a very big way, who is used to already something very different, if he gives it back, he will notice something different. He will be able to really be aware. What will he be aware of? What will he be enjoying? What will that be coming from? And why is it better? Oh, man. I wish I could stop here. Reminds me, I once saw Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, I think it was in Gittin, such a good kasha, beautiful kasha. I thought to myself, oh, what would it have been like if he would have stopped the shiur, told the guys, okay, everybody, go back to the Beis Medrash, hack this out, come back and tell me what you think about this kasha, and we'll see if we're thinking the same or if there's epis any difference. So, I wish I could stop. Give it to you to think about and then get back together. But don't worry, there'll be what to hopefully work on. So I think that, of course, the only thing that there could be there, as Ben Bachi spells out, what is the Hanoh coming from? The Hanoh is coming from that the human being is actually, essentially, fundamentally, a being of truth. Ben Yena says, "Emes is mi yisaydei hanefesh." So when, of course, through some very good effort, makes contact with that midah of emes that is within him, that will be a very, maybe subtle, but deep hanah. That will be a deep unknown. It's like, oh, this is Yoshu. This is Tzedek. This is Emes. Why is it better? Why is it better? Will he be able to see the difference? We have to believe he could see the difference. He could see this Hano is a real Hano. This is based on something of reality, of the truth of who I am, and the true goodness of living with Yosher and Tzedek and righteousness and respect for another person and their rights and their property, what belongs to them, and proper society that's functioning together, b'shalom ba'achdus, not one against the other. Oh, that is something that's real. The hana that was coming from all the glamour and the glitz and the money and the fame and the fortune, that wasn't anything real. That's only in my mind. That's only imagination. There's no reality to it. There's no actual substance to it. It's only made out of my pretending that I'm somebody chashev because of my money. But this is who I really am. This is coming from my true self, my neshama. Oh, I'm a person of ruchnis. I'm a person of spirituality. I'm a person of eternity. I'm a person who can have a connection with Hashem as I see myself having. Oh. So I'm not a ganav. And I'm not a rich robber baron. And that's not who I am. Before he said, how can I give it back? That's who I am. But now I'm realizing, if my real hano in life comes from my nefesh, and it's the same thing with the good friendship you might be having with your good old buddy. When the real hano is coming from the friendship, that shows that what is a person, the essence of the person, the truth of the person, is his neshama, is his spiritual existence, the one that has the kesher with Hashem. And all those midas are only stemming from the ultimate shleimus of Hashem. They all have their source, Hashem shleimus. So when I'm in touch with something of it, what am I in touch with? What am I connecting back to? What am I becoming aware of? Hashem himself and his absolute shleimus that I have the connection with. That's supposed to last for how long? Ever, for eternity. That's who I am. That's what I really am. All this was just in my mind. This was just like being caught in a bad dream that was so lifelike. Oh man. Okay, done with that. That's all over. So after Shira, I got a little help to come to this from a little gathering that takes place every Thursday night in Far Rockaway, have a Groner's Yeshiva, where they have some good music called Hachana L'Shabbos. And I was planning on speaking about this at a grandson of Bar Mitzvah the following Shabbos, end of January, Waterbury. And somebody told me, why don't you go check that out? 810 Cats is coming this week. 810 Cats, okay. That's for free? Okay. Check it out. And I get there, and it's coming along very nicely, and they play for a deer. Oh, very nice. No. Da, 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 da. And then they go into the British. Da, 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 da. It's getting stronger. Da, 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 da. And finally, you fall down, you get back up. And you're like, oh, that's what Shlomo Melech is saying. He's not a gunner. He's n that's what this is. He's not a gunner. He's a yid. He's a metzias of kedusha. Of course, Shlomo HaMelech could say to him, "You can give it back, and you can enjoy that little bit, and it'll be better. It'll be more enjoyable. It won't be fancy, glamorous. It will be better, because that'll be the hana of your neshama, and you will discover first who you are, which is a great part of the whole process, and all that." Picture of the Yetzer Hara and all that enticement, all those pulls of any manner, shape, or form, whether they're to Gezel, whether they're to Arayis, whether they're to Yiyush, whether they're to Kina, to Sina, to Gaiva. These are all just the creations of Hashem that have to be there in the person. And boy, are they there for the sake of being able to choose the opposite Midah, to choose Yosher, to choose Kedusha, to choose Anava, to choose good connection to other people, to choose truth and not buy into the fantasy and the pretension and false pictures. This is imagining intimacy is not, it's just pictures. To let go of all the sheker and to choose what's emes and what's really good. That's what it's all for. So none of it is real. It's only in my mind. Oh, that's what the Ganav could realize. It's all only in my mind. So it has nothing to do with me. It has no shaykhs to me. No power over me. No. It was all just a bad dream. Okay, I say goodbye. Give it all back. I say I'm retiring and I'm going to sit down to learn. And everybody's wondering, hey, at the top of the world, is going to sit down to learn. But yeah, I decided to retire early. That's it. Nobody has to know. And that's... hopefully the ones who get the money back won't tell, and everything will be good. And where can we see this? If you want to see an anchor for this, in the Rambam, in the Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam discusses the question of a person has extra money. And we know on Purim that you can mitzvah simcha, chai v'inish levesume, then the Sivis learns that means to be besimcha. And Mishibur also, you know, Lahaydais and Tim Sameach. Okay, that's for a different time. The curious Viva Simcha, so there could be a lot of ways. Increase the Suda, increase Mishlach Manois, if somebody can afford it, and give to the whole city. What kind of Simcha that will be? Or it could be Marbin in the Matanis Levyainim. Says the Rambam, the best is to be Marbin Matanis Levyainim. Because, says the Rambam, Ein lecha simcha gedayla mafayara. There's no greater, more glorious simcha. It's inner glory. Kimishim sameach leiv ho'aniyim v'yisoyim v'almanais v'agir. There's no greater simcha than the one who's sameach. They don't even know who it's coming from. He doesn't even know who it's going to. But he knows there's somebody in the city or in the world that's going to be uplifted because another yid is caring for them. It says Rambam, why is this the most glorious simcha? Shaisa Kain, Hareyu Daimel Shechina. He's Daimel to Hashem, about whom it says, Morim v'kodesh eshkain, v'es dako shval ruach, l'hachyes ruach shvolin, u'lahachyes leivul kayim. A primary, evident midah of Hashem in the Bria is that he's uplifting and empowering the machazik, those that are in a very difficult or lowly state, and they sense it. And like Mr. Sosham says, the Ani sees how Hashem is sending him his day's meal. Bederech Nes. He calls it Bederech Nes. He has no explanation. How did the next meal come to me? That's, he could see that Yibush is caring for him. So someone who does that, even if he's not even thinking about it, he is in touch with the Darak Yashem. So Hashem's chayislam is emes. Shlomo HaMelech is right. If you can enjoy more, if your nefesh is enjoying more the good human connection, and what is that real good human connection all about? Just somebody making me feel good because, you know, they love latching on to me? No. It's real ava. Real ava includes a lot of inputs, a lot of commitment, a lot of readiness on my part to be there for them. And of course, their readiness to be there for me. And, you know, if we ever have the chance to actually try to carry it out, we'll be able to see that, you know, it's powerful. It's powerful. So that connection with the other person is really also relating to the midas of Hashem. But all the midas of Hashem are relating back to Hashem. So, of course, that's going to be a greater hano. It's going to be a greater simcha, a greater hano. One is directly emulating Hashem. And he's in touch with the root of all shleimus through any one of Hashem's midas, especially the ones that are so primary, that are so ikar. So here's the question. Is there something you might say that we can take out of this? Can we use this message ourselves? Can we say to ourselves, this is what I really am? I am a being of ruchnis, and everything else is just external. And I am a being of ruchnis that's intended, that's designed to connect to all of Hashem's midos of shleimus, as we listed some of them. And there's all, you know, so many more. And what is the ikar one of all of them? The one that the entire world is based on. The single most paramount midah of Hashem in the Bria. That's right, Chesed. So can we see of ourselves that this is essentially who we are, absolutely, entirely who we are in our true essence, of the created being that's enabled and intended and designed and given the mission to connect to Hashem and all the good that is within him, and then enjoy that forever? Can we recognize that as our identity? That we don't need to be the best in learning. We don't need even to be the best in basketball. We don't need to be the coolest. We don't need to be the one. We don't need anything external. We don't need the one who finishes so many mesechtas. We don't need the one who says the deepest svara. We don't need anything that can be measured, because we are already innately, immeasurably valuable, indescribably valuable. Like we can't even say anything about Hashem. We cannot say anything about the neshama. It's beyond description. It's a being that was created to be able to be Dafik Basha. Then can we understand what the Torah is? What is the Torah? What is the Torah mitzvah? What is this? What does it mean to be Eved Hashem? What is the service that we're supposed to be doing? When we say the job of a Jew, ask anybody, what's the job of the Jew in the world? They'll say, to serve Hashem. Then ask him, what is that service all about? Do mitzvahs. And why is Hashem giving the mitzvahs? I'll say, I don't have to know about that. Don't confuse me. Say, no, you need to know that. Why do I need to know? Because there will be no comparison of your doing the mitzvahs when you know what you're doing in them as if you don't know what you're doing in them. No shaykhis klal uklal. Okay. But before we take the next step, is everybody okay so far? Does anybody want anything repeated now or later? Okay, I'm available anytime. I'll be available. You don't have to answer. There's a line in Sefer Ratzofen on the Maimer that's called Erkei Shel Chesed. It says a person's tafkid in the Bria is Chesed, only Chesed. And if his actions are not stemming from the root source of a chesed, he will not be elevated by them. That's really going far. But what does it even mean? His tafkid in the world is chesed. That's a very important aspect of his life. Is that everything? Is there a way? Do we have enough information yet to see how it's possible to say a person's whole purpose in life, his whole mission in life, is chesed? Okay. Well, let's ask ourselves, what is Hashem's purpose in the Bria? To do chesed. How? And how much? So now we know a little bit. The way Hashem is doing the chesed is by enabling us to connect to Him. And how much chesed will that be? The maximum that a person could possibly experience. Because if we can have the peak hana, even in this world, from connecting to the Shleimus of Hashem, the Midas of Hashem, the Yeshua, the Chesed, the Rachim, the Anova, the Kedusha. If that will be our peak hana in this world, what will be the hana in the next world? Infinite, indescribable, no Navi has ever given any mashal for it. Can I give a mashal for it? So what does Hashem want to give? The maximum Tov from what? The Tov that is within Himself. Whose mission is it to bring that about? That's ours. Hashem helps us. It's a partnership. It's good. Together, you know. But do we have a big part? So our mission is to bring about Hashem's chesed. So we know we are essentially a being of spiritual, already designed and potential connection to Hashem Himself, the root of all shleimus. Everything of the Eitzar is just thoughts in our mind, just imagination, just created as a means of giving us the challenge to be able to choose what is good so that we make it truly ours and really connect to our own choice, our own creating it, which is the only way that it can come about. And when all kinds of thoughts come into our head, we don't have to get all scared. We just let them bubble up and fly away. Say, let's see how long I could handle this going on in my head before I do anything and see what happens. Look at that. Nothing happens. Okay. Goodbye for now. And when it comes back again, we let it go. We let it go again. So we know how we have to do this. We know that's what Hashem's purpose is. How can we get a sense of the value of it, of the greatness of it? How can we commit ourselves to it in a real, total way? Okay, so I'll give you a mashal that maybe you can use. It doesn't do justice, but it's the best that we can try. Imagine yourself leading a team of the world's top scientists, doctors, mathematicians, all joining together through, you know, a universal entire world connection to try to discover the root cause of the main diseases that are plaguing mankind. In the course of your research, you come across something. This is, you know, this is only imaginary, but who knows? You come across something that's shocking good. You discover something that can be developed. Maybe 25 years of persistent work together and can be disseminated to the world. That will transform the world completely. That will eradicate all illness, past and future. That will cure all mental illness. That will release from a person all need for power, domination, violence, control, competition, and everyone will be able to be living in peace and harmony together. We'll be able to bring out from people all their powers of productivity and creativity, be able to be successful in life in every good way. And in effect, the world will be transformed into an entire brotherhood of beauty and joy, cooperation, and uplifted exaltedness, as will be when Mashiach comes. All dedicated only to one thing, being able to understand Hashem. And you see this, and you don't have funding for this project yet. And you have to start immediately. If you don't start now, you can miss the chance. So you look in at the computer screens across the globe, and they look back at you. What do you say to each other? Let's go. And you are all in. What will that be like? What will that feel like? It's awesome, but amazing, thrilling. Like, can't be described. Now, which is greater? All that greatness and beauty of Bais HaMashiach, or the Schar of Olam Haba? The greatness of Yosef Mashiach is described by the Nevi'im. It was shown to the Nevi'im. But the Schar of Olam Haba was not shown to any Malach or any Novi. It's Hanor that's of Hashem's true essence that cannot be shown. Only one who knows it is the one who receives it in Olam Haba. That's a greater achievement than all of this that you would, of course, dedicate yourself non-stop to give to the world. That is our mission, to carry out, to bring about, to bring into actuality the chesed of Hashem that will last forever by making ourselves like Hashem, by bringing Hashem into us, by connecting to Him, by taking all the qualities of that melech that we have, all the shlemus, and bring it into ourselves so that we have a true and eternal connection, which is happening on an ongoing basis. So, how should we feel about that? I think pretty good. Is that better than the Hana of the Ghana with, you know, a lot of money, glitz and glamour? Oh, yeah. Now do we know Pshat in the midst of a Gedolah Aliyah is B'Simcha Tamid? Maybe a little bit. So, I think we should end with a niggin, but I'm not about to do that. But if I had the courage to do it, or if I, you know, I thought that this would not be so distracting that you'll forget everything else that we talked about. I think I was seeing the crack coming again. That's what I was listening to in the car. But it was first like, oh, we're connecting to some midah of Hashem. That's the connection to Hashem Himself. The Ganav will know that. We have a kesher to Ahav Hashem, because what is the Ahav Hashem all about? The Ahav Hashem Shleimus. Can we make contact with it? Yes, we can make contact with it every moment. And while we're doing that, we will be bringing about Hashem's purpose in the Bria. We will be bringing about Hashem's purpose in the Bria. We will be doing the Chesed Hashem. Why are we so afraid of it? Because we're used to thinking, oh, that means I'm doing it for myself, for the Schar. But that's only because we're so conditioned with always thinking only about ourselves. But if we would ever stop and take our focus off of ourselves and put our focus on Hashem and His chesed, it'd be like looking to the sun. It's like, oh, okay. If we could like not look directly. So then we're carrying out Hashem's chesed. It's going to come to us, of course. That's what Hashem wants. But we're not doing it for ourselves. Doing it because we will have Hashem's chesed. We love Hashem. We want this beauty to come about. So now let me ask Rabbi Isai. after somebody knows this, is it possible to be moiser nefesh for Kiyama Mitzvahs? Is it possible to sacrifice something in order to keep the Torah? No, it's not possible. There's no sacrifice. There's not supposed to be any sacrifice. There's just supposed to be enough seichel to see through the false imagination that the Eitz Hara presents to us and see what is true, what is good. Timis anigal Hashem, now and forever. Thank you very much.
Nothing. Leave the rabbi alone. Leave the rabbi alone.